former finance minister Ken Ofori-Atta declared wanted by the special prosecutor as he fails to appear before the OSP for the third consecutive time. Stay with us as we hear from lawyers of Ken Ofori-Atta, who has called the bluff of the special prosecutor, insisting on virtual interrogation as they argue their client is medically unfit. To you by Telecel Connecting Energies and Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. My name is Faustina Safo. Well, tonight the special prosecutor has once again put the name of the former finance minister Ken Ofori-Atta on the wanted list. That's his decision after lawyers for the former finance minister failed for the third consecutive time to present their client in person for questioning, insisting he can only appear virtually due to medical reasons. The special prosecutor had settled the interrogation over Ken Ofori-Atta's alleged role in five corruption and corruption-related cases, threatening to relist Ken Ofori-Atta on his wanted list. Well, tonight he has fulfilled that threat. Let's listen to him.
A letter from Mr. Ofori-Atta's lawyers, dated 18 February 2025, clearly indicated that the possible surgical intervention to be performed on him was to occur on 20 and 21 March 2025, upon which reckoning the OSP carefully considered the recovery period and indulgently pushed Mr. Ofori-Atta's attendance at the OSP to 2 June 2025. Therefore, Mr. Ofori-Atta had a duty to promptly inform the OSP of any fundamental change in his medical circumstances on 21 March 2025, when the advertised surgical intervention was not performed, to enable the OSP reschedule a new date of his attendance at the OSP to accommodate any such material changes in his medical condition and treatment itinerary. Mr. Ofori-Atta has known, at least since 21 March 2025, that no surgical procedure was to be performed on him in March. Yet, he purposely sat by indolently and chose not to inform the OSP of such fundamental changes in his circumstances. Instead, about 67 days after learning of the alleged changed circumstances around 21 March 2025, Mr. Ofori-Atta elected to spring a surprise on the OSP on 28 May 2025, just 6 days before his scheduled attendance at the OSP, by offering to undergo a video recorded interview and a viewing of his biopsy report. Now, back to the 28 May 2025 letter from the lawyers of Mr. Ofori-Atta. As I said, this is where we are. By a letter dated 30 May 2025, the OSP declined Mr. Ofori-Atta's offer of video recorded interview for the purpose of eliciting his caution statement. This office has always insisted on his personal attendance, and we have indicated clearly to him that we are unwilling to waive it. If we were amenable to taking any such statement from Mr. Ofori-Atta in absentia, we would have done so in February and not waited to 2 June 2025. We want him here physically, and we insist on it. A suspect in a criminal investigation does not pick and choose how the investigative authority should conduct its investigations and the method suitable to him and his convenience. We will not countenance such conduct, not in this case or in any other case. Further, the OSP has declined Mr. Ofori-Atta's invitation to view his biopsy report, as we consider it a pointless exercise. This is because it is common learning that the biopsy report contains nothing more than a conclusion upon the removal and examination of tissue, cells, or fluids from a living body, that some disease or malady was indicated in the samples taken. A biopsy report is not an expression of a reasoned medical opinion that the subject of the report is an invalid and unable to travel, as Mr. Ofori-Atta seeks to suggest is his condition, and for which reason he says he cannot return to the jurisdiction. This much is clear. Since 24 January 2025 till date, Mr. Ofori-Atta has failed to show any medical report. I underline, he has failed to show any medical report which suggests that he is a travel risk and unable to return to the jurisdiction by reason of his medical condition. It has all been his say-so. His singular say-so. Therefore, the OSP views Mr. Foriate's lawyer's letter dated 28 May 2025 as an expression of utter bad faith on the part of Mr. Foriate. And it confirms our long-held, well-considered opinion and conclusion that Mr. Foriate has no intention of voluntarily returning to the jurisdiction and to attend the OSP. Further, this office is unaware of his purported information to the court, whether orally or by file processes, of the alleged change in his circumstances. Today is Monday, 2 June 2025. It is more than 3 hours past the scheduled time of Mr. Foriate's attendance at the OSP, and Mr. Foriate failed to attend the OSP today. Mr. Foriate's conduct is totally unacceptable and a baleful spite at law enforcement and criminal investigations. It ends here. It ends today. We will no longer accommodate him. Consequently, the OSP redeclares that Mr. Foriate is a wanted person and a fugitive from justice. His name is hereby re-entered on the OSP's list of wanted persons. The OSP will take all necessary legal steps to secure Mr. Foriate's return to the jurisdiction and to answer to the criminal inquiries against him. In pursuance of this, about 30 minutes before this briefing, I triggered processes for the issuance of an Interpol red notice pending extradition or his surrender. Around the same time, I dispatched a request for extradition processes to be instituted for this extradition to the Republic of Ghana. The OSP will prefer criminal charges in the courts against Mr. Foriate in due course, whether in absentia or otherwise. The principle upon which we proceed is that no person, regardless of title, regardless of status, regardless of medical, is beyond the reach of inquiry by the OSP.
You heard there the special prosecutor, and he's still addressing the media. Let's take you there live now for that media engagement.
That the special prosecutor had embarked on a personal vendetta against Mr. Foriate without disclosing the alleged series of retaliation. Facilities in the U.S. When the U.S. medical facilities are communicating with law enforcement, we know the form in which they come. A hospital administrator goes through a tedious process of detailed analysis of his condition to come to a conclusion that he is unfit to travel, and so he shouldn't be made to travel. That is when a law enforcement agency considers things like the MLA processes, but not on your say-so, not by way of a biopsy report. Once again, a biopsy report simply in street language, it is merely like a lab test. That shows you have a certain condition. So in his context sense, it's indicated that he says he has cancer. It will be a removal of some tissue or fluid to test whether the tissues put in the cassette indicate cancerous cells. It doesn't mean that he's dying tomorrow, God forbid. It doesn't mean that he is so unwell that he can't travel. You know how many people are walking around with cancerous ailments, but they still show up at police stations and law enforcement agencies? So I asked the very first questioner, what is so special about Mr. Foriate that he thinks that he can lie on his bed somewhere and say on his say-so without any evidence that I'm unwell, I can't show up? Conclusion, he won't come voluntarily. And so we end this process of accommodating him and putting him back on the wanted list. Yes. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. My name is Mina Fonsa, and I welcome to the meeting.
And Kachiana.
Oh, you
bet me. Let's do that. Let's do that.
You said you wanted kind of reality in person.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that our laws do not permit trial in absentia? Is it the case that all the documents that have been presented to you by Ken of Foriate, you seem not to have, it has not meet your threshold? Is it also possible that The OSP will elect to go through the process or the trial. And at the end of the day, if the court listens to you and upheld in your favor, the court will declare or the court will put him to a place that he is supposed to be put. Rather than it appearing that the SP or the OSP is becoming a judge in his own court. Thank you.
On this, I would also want to ask you a question. Is this the first time that someone in our country has been declared wanted? Is it? All the persons previously declared wanted before him, were they human? Or they were not human? He is the only human. There's nothing special about this. That is all I'm pointing at. There's nothing special. There's nothing secretive or esoteric about it. It is just a simple legal process. Law enforcement agency wants you, you show up. If you see the gentleman standing by you, if he comes to you to say that you are under arrest, and you do not go quietly with him, what will happen? He will enforce it. If he doesn't reduce the length of your legs and hauls you along with him. That's all I'm saying. There's no choice about you responding to criminal law enforcement. See, this video conferencing. This is not a civil inquiry. This is not a taking of a deposition in some matter before which you are filing before a court or not. Mind you, we are still in the investigative stage. We haven't filed yet. So everything now is under the purview of the OSP. You get it? Before we go to court, if the court says some emissaries should be taken there to question him under the largesse of whichever authority in whatever jurisdiction he may be found, that's fine. But for us doing investigations, we need to find our criminal suspects. We cannot just sit here and treat things like you are the same person who will turn around and say, we are treating some harshly and we are sugarcoating others. For as far as we are concerned, Mr. Ofori-Atta is not special. I will repeat, we investigated a former president. Have you forgotten? On 8 August 2024, I came right in this room and made told Ghanaians our conclusions and our findings. A former president. He was served with the same processes. He showed up. I'll repeat again, much less a finance minister, a former finance minister. The OSP stands for this. We do not regard persons. We do not regard titles. We do not regard your station in life. Everyone is the same to us. As we have set the precedent of investigating a former president, no one is beyond our purview. Everyone is fair game if we think you are a suspect in a criminal inquiry. Trial in absentia. I indicated so that we've triggered the processes for his enforced return back to the jurisdiction. By the time we are ready to go to court, he is still not here. We will file. If we commence the trial, he is still not here. We will commence the proceedings. He can choose to be there, wherever he is, if we haven't found him yet, if we have not enforced his appearance before. See, criminal proceedings are not to be taken lightly. You respond to them, even civil proceedings. If you fail to respond to civil proceedings, you will be sitting in your office or home one day and processes will be served on you that you've lost your house just because you sat by and didn't respond. And criminal proceedings, now I'm beginning to feel as if I'm in a lecture hall at Legon. With criminal proceedings, you stand the specter
of losing your freedom, of losing something valuable to you by way of a fine. And that is no proceeding to joke with. Can I go now? Which is? Oh, documents. Are we a judge in our own course? We are looking for someone to apprehend, and you're asking whether we are judging our own course. If we are judging our own course, it means the law says we should be a judge in our own courses, but it cannot be the case. The law gives us the mandate to investigate and prosecute suspected offenders. The law gives us the mandate copiously by spelling out our investigative powers. This is all we are doing. Mind you, we are performing a statutory function. A statutory function of investigations and likely prosecution. We haven't rendered any judgment on him, have we? Have we said he's guilty of one offense or the other? We haven't said that. We are only saying we have accommodated him enough and we are not going to go further. He is now a wanted person again and a fugitive from justice. That's the last, right?
You heard that the special prosecutor addressing a news conference. Well, thankfully, I have with me Frank Davis, who's chairman of the Constitutional and Legal Committee of the NPP. He's also a key member of the legal team for Ken Ofori-Atta. I appreciate your time here on Top Story. Now, the special prosecutor has declared your client a wanted man, a fugitive of justice, officially triggering that red notice to Interpol. How do you respond to this?
Well, good evening to your esteemed listeners and cherished viewers. Well, he has declared him, redeclared him a wanted person and a fugitive from justice. I've listened to all that he said, his triggered processes to ensure his forced return into the country. He has also caused a red notice alert on him. He has, or is in the process of triggering extradition or commencing extradition proceedings for him to ensure a return of Kenneth Ofori-Atta into the jurisdiction. Well, that is what he has opted to do. So he should start and carry it out. But I would just say this to the Office of the Special Prosecutor, that he should stick to his core duties as a special prosecutor and as a trained lawyer. I don't know when he became a medical practitioner to be given interpretations to biopsy tests and all that he said. I don't remember the last time that he became a surgeon general. He's a legal practitioner. He should stick to his core duties and stop getting himself in areas where he has very little knowledge. It doesn't do his office any good. This pandering to theatricals and public showmanship and whatever, I mean, I think it's unnecessary, clearly unnecessary. It doesn't add anything to his office. It rather subtracts. Okay, don't let us play to the gallery and be doing these things. When somebody's health is concerned, he can say whatever he wants to say. The point of saying that is Mr. Ofori-Atta going to die tomorrow, really? A public officer, and this is the language you use, whether Ofori-Atta is going to die tomorrow. I mean, I don't think that is elegant enough. But be that as it may, he has outlined what he wants to do. He can carry it out. Ofori-Atta, Kenneth Ofori-Atta, he knows where to find him. So he should go ahead and bring him into the jurisdiction. But
as his lawyers, I'm sure you must be concerned. As his lawyers, you must be concerned about this. Some of the key concerns he raised was that you failed to present any medical report, and he stressed that any medical report which suggests that Ken Ofori-Atta is at travel risk. Is that the case from where you sit?
He failed to show or give any medical report that he's a travel risk. What medical report was he looking for? Except the one that was sent to him. But if he's been kind enough, I didn't think he was going to disclose this. But if he's gone ahead to say that Ofuriata has been diagnosed, that he has a cancer ailment, he does not appreciate that. He does not appreciate that. And he thinks that he poses the question, do you know the number of people working in this country with cancer? He doesn't know what they are going through. You see, the special prosecutor should be very careful. You see, when you are put into a public office, it does not give you the liberty to just be saying things off your head and be saying anything that you like. But we all live by the dictates. Let us be fair to each other.
Do you have a medical report that states that your client is travel risk?
We sent a report posted by the doctors to him, and the conclusion of the doctors was that he was unable to make the appointment. What does that suggest? Now, he says he's responded to the letters by Ken's lawyer.
He says in his statement that I'll let you land if you allow me. He says that he has declined to view the biopsy report. He says it is pointless. Did you send him the biopsy report?
If it was not sent to him, will you comment on it? If it was not sent to him, the question you're asking me, if it was not sent to the public, the special procedure, will you comment on it and say that it is pointless? I mean, so what kind of question are you asking? It was sent to him. That is why he says it is pointless. Does it lie in his domain? As a lawyer, to be making such comments? Why? Is he not a medic? Something has been sent to you. You are saying that you won't look at it. Fine. That is your discretion. But don't make judgmental remarks on it. Is he a doctor? Is he a medical practitioner to speak to the kind of test he was referring to? If he wanted clear confirmation, maybe he could have considered a surgeon rather than make those postulations. When did he modify into a doctor? Let us stick to the issues and then let us pander to this public showmanship.
What does this mean for your case in court? Because some of the key reliefs you're seeking when you appear before the court on the 18th of June is that the OSP be prohibited from declaring your client wanted. He has gone ahead to do that. What does that mean for your case in court?
He has showed his hand boastfully. We are all lawyers. We also know what to do. I'm not about to sit or talk on radio to be telling you what I'm going to do on behalf of my clients. That is clearly unprofessional. He has showed his hand about what he intends to do. He is a lawyer just as we are. We will also do what we have to do. As simple as that.
He says that he'll be trying your client in absentia. What does this mean for you, really? How will you fight this?
Ask him first. The duty of any prosecutorial authority, which he says there is to prove guilt of accused persons or suspects beyond reasonable doubt in a court of competent jurisdiction. It is not to come and be giving press statements and just putting words together. He says he's going to try him in absentia. Has he exhausted any means possible for him to try enough? You only try someone in absentia when you're unable to get the person. Have we crossed that threshold? Why is he being simply incoherent and inconsistent? You claim you want to bring the person into the country. So why are you talking about try in absentia? Is he now telling us that he cannot bring him? He's boasting that he's going to red notice, alert, Interpol, extradition, whatever. He should bring him. And stop talking about trying absentia. He says he's bringing him. So we are waiting for him to bring Ken Ofuriata. And then we'll go to court. He says he's declined a video recorded interview because this is not a civil proceeding, it's a criminal proceeding. But I believe that we all understand. And I'm sure he should be guided. He should be guided by his own remarks. There's no distinction when it comes to video recorded interview, whether it is a civil or criminal proceeding. And he should know better. So he says he's bringing him. You should bring him and stop talking about trying absentia. I don't think I'm about and prepared to answer that question. He should go ahead and try him in absentia.
What should we expect from your camp?
What should you expect from our camp? Why? What are you? Are you expecting? Do we prosecute? We are no prosecutors. He is a prosecutor. And he says you use every means possible to bring him here. And Ken Ofori-Atta doesn't have a choice. He's a human being just like anybody else. We haven't said anywhere that Mr. Ofori-Atta is a superhuman or he's a spirit or he's a fetish. He's a human being, yes, like anybody else. So if he says he's unamenable to this procedure, he should bring him. Nothing. There's nothing in our camp. If Ofori-Atta comes to Ghana, but he says so, he will be represented. That's for sure.
For our audience listening, they want to know the exact current medical condition of Ken Ofori-Atta. We know that the special prosecutor has given a little bit of details as to the exact medical issue that he's facing, but currently, as we speak, what is his current state? Is he bedridden?
Look here, we all have to be professional about what we do. You're a trained journalist. I'm a trained lawyer. They are trained medical practitioners. You think my client's medical condition, I should be on radio divulging to you my client's medical condition. Excuse me, why? The Ghanaians want to know what? You think my client's medical condition, he has been telling that he has cancer. So ask him. I should be telling you my client's medical condition. I'm unable to do that. I'm simply unable to do that. And I'm not even allowed to do that. That is why our communication to him was private. If we wanted to divulge what was happening to our client, we would serve it in the public domain. We sent him a letter. As of today, I am talking to you as Ken's lawyer. I haven't cited any response. He says he dispatched a response on the 30th of May. I have not seen such a response. And if we did something confidential and privileged, you should come out and bleat out that the man has cancer. Ask him what is wrong with Ken Ofori-Atta. Don't ask me.
And will you be challenging some of this in court?
My dear, when we get to court, you will know what will happen in court.
Thank you so much for your time, Frank Davis. He is chairman of the Constitutional Legal Committee of the NPP. You're still listening to Top Story, and I'm handing the baton to Evans Mensah. It's time for Newsnight.